Oh, hey there, Ghostbuster fans. Welcome to Why We Bust, a weekly show where we look at the Ghostbuster cosplay community across the world and we ask individuals the burning question that's on everybody's mind. Why do you do what you do? This show is powered by Memoriam Development, the Windy City Ghostbusters, and viewers like you. So turn that pack off, shut your trap, and take the night off and enjoy Why We Bust.
Okay.
Are we live? Are we Homer live?
We are so live. So we'll give everybody a minute to hop on.
Are we like 90s alive? Oh, I'm still alive.
No, we're like the band live. We're lightning crashes.
Oh, I haven't even thought about that band. I think I saw them for free once.
Oh yeah.
Well, Dan, yeah, coming out with the Lucky Boys Confusion, bro.
right. So I've had this shirt since high school, just because I wanted to look good for this.
Fantastic.
Very 90s, isn't it?
Big pimping over here.
Sorry.
Gotta find something.
All right.
We'll give it one more minute and then we'll go ahead and go.
Yeah, give it a minute for more people to join in and then we can get started.
Outstanding. Is that a spider land on me? Oh boy. Da-da-da-da-da.
I'm just trying to find something to prop my phone up with without blocking the mic.
What's up, Whiskey Assassin? Thanks for joining us.
All right. We've got people joining. I'm getting ready. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Like DX, are we ready?
X's going to give it to you.
Oh. All right, then. You know what? Let's go ahead and get this ball rolling.
Do it.
All right. You've heard of the Bash Brothers. You've heard of the Blues Brothers. Well, now get ready for the Bullhorn Brothers. That's right. J.R. Barajas here. Not planned. Hell yeah. J.R. Barajas here taking over for hosting duties for Kristen, your other host with the most. And as you can see, I am sporting my Slimer merch for Kristen since she is not here. So get ready for a good, fun-filled evening with me, J.R. Barajas, El Presidente. So, good evening to all my fellow Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters enthusiasts. I am in charge. This is my time now. Our guest tonight for this evening, he is number two in line, but he's number one in our hearts. You all know him. You all love him. He is Dan Stitches Lombardo. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, enough of the nitty gritty. By the way, thank you for bringing out your bullhorn, buddy. I had no idea yet.
I actually tried that to prop up the phone, and so I had to grab it, but we're good.
Oh, I guess that's where the echo was coming from. Is everyone else hearing us all right? Give us a thumbs up, a like, a share. Make sure that everyone is listening, watching. Pass this along to everyone because we are still growing this show. And Kristen does a fantastic job of this. Bob also does a fantastic job. And as always, Norm, I cannot forget Norm. Give yourself a nice little round of applause there, buddy, for being our little IT tech. Thank you so much, sir. You are fantastic. So let's get down to the nitty gritty. Dan.
Yes, sir.
The standard question. When did it all start? When did you first love Ghostbusters?
So Ghostbusters 2 was the first movie I remember ever actually going to a theater for. And I would have been five. And then I love the cartoon. I can honestly say as a child, I don't remember watching the first movie. But, you know, as I got a little bit older, 7, 8, then obviously I do remember it. But I don't remember it when I was real little. And the cartoon, every Saturday morning, I was on it. I had all the toys. I had a Ghostbusters-themed party when I was 5. The cake. I remember my mom actually hand-drew the logo and Moogly on a shirt and painted it for me.
That's so cute.
And I wish I still had it. She also made me a Robin Hood one because that was my favorite movie. That I still have. It's on a Alf plush in my extra bedroom.
Okay, you just said Robin Hood. Which Robin Hood are we talking about? The cartoon? The Kevin Costner?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and explore that? What was so great about Robin Hood?
I'm not sure why it was always my favorite when I was little, but I remember we used to rent it from 7-Eleven. If you remember way back in the day, they rented movies.
I don't.
And we had one right across the street in Berwyn. And we knew the owner. And I swear, I must have wore that VHS out. Because every week, every Friday, that was my movie.
All right. From Ghostbusters to Robin Hood, Robin Hood back to Ghostbusters. All right. So I'm sure just like me, you know, there was probably a period of time where you were searching out other ghost heads, I guess, to speak, or Ghostbusters enthusiasts. So how did you find Windy City?
So it really started stemming as an adult in 2020 for me. Because I was working, I needed a hobby. So I happened to go to C2E2 my first time. And I ran into someone from, now the name is escaping me, another team. And I saw the pack and I was talking to him. And I wanted to build a pack. I thought it was the coolest thing. I had the spirit one, the 80% untouched, but you know, I saw his and that just put it to shame. And he had recommended you guys. So that's how I had looked up Windy City. And I talked to Joe. I became a rookie. And like a week later, COVID hit full swing and that just put an end to that.
Yeah, I think that put an end to a lot of things that happened during that time. But when things started swinging back, you know, and we all started to gather around again. I remember the first time I met you, which was at the Hollywood Boulevard Theater for the showing of Afterlife.
Yes, it was.
And I remember thinking to myself, who are these people? And I need to get out of here. mostly because I was out of my element. I had no idea that I was already home. I just needed to be a little more patient. Mm-hmm. You guys did your initiation and you were the first person I saw. So walk us through that initiation. How'd you feel about that? What was going through your head?
So that was a complete shock to me because it was scheduled as a meetup, just a hangout. It wasn't going to count as a real event. And at the time I had 3 events under my belt and I was doing the Thanksgiving Day parade, which was like a week afterwards. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'll hit the 4th then. And, you know, if I get inducted, that's great. So it was a complete shock when Joe was on stage and he called up me, Nick Bellendorf, and Jacob Walker up on stage. And that, I mean, I couldn't have pictured a better time because here we are, a new movie that was the movie that we've all been waiting for. You know, I mean, essentially it was a closing to one story, but an opening to another, which was what I really liked about the movie itself. And at that time, you know, I had 3 or 4 events in. I was getting to know everyone, getting to make some real friends, you know, and I actually feel like I was part of the team more. And it was just a great experience for me.
You know, and watching all you guys get inducted, that was super familiar to me, and it gave me the warm feels. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up crying at the end of the movie, but that's a whole
different story.
We all cried. And again, that just solidified. I was like, I'm home, you know, but I did walk up to you and I congratulated you.
You yes,
looked
you did.
At me, you looked at me, you smiled, and then you're like, do I know him? Do I not know him? Yeah. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, that's about right.
That was it.
And actually, just to piggyback off of all of it, how great it felt to be inducted and clapping and everyone just cheering as we did. That's a big, big part of the reason that inspired me to join MemCom the following year, and which I served for 2 years under.
Yes, yes, I remember that.
So, because I was there when you got sworn in.
Yes, you were. I was on the
Southside Irish.
Southside Irish Parade, and that was crazy because it was my first parade, and I was asked by Bob to go nuts, go crazy, you know, start getting the crowd going. And this was before the bullhorn, so I remember you being there, me and you just kind of playing off each other for a little bit, but we never really quite, you know.
Yeah,
we're like, okay, where is he at? Where should I be?
Dude, I could not keep up with you. I tried. Because you had the bullhorn, you were all over the place. I'm like, I'm going to pass out if I try to yell as much as him.
Well, I had to get the bullhorn because I was yelling so much. But I remember on our second parade that we did, it was a 4th of July parade, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. Probably yes, the Darien.
Yeah, and you had your bullhorn. I had my bullhorn, and we were just taking sides. And that's why I like when you're there, because we play off each other's energy, because it sometimes when you're by yourself, it's like I gotta dig deep. But even you have someone to play off of, it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think the crowd really enjoys it too.
I mean, yeah, it like when we were battling each other, it's like which side's louder, which side can be out here. That's great. That's absolutely great. So yeah. So let's go back to the movies, since we were talking about Afterlife. We talked about GB2. Obviously, I've seen a theme when every time I've been watching all of the Why We Bust episodes, everyone loves GB2, and I'm assuming it's got to be your favorite.
Dude, the slime blower.
Is that what it was? Is that what did it for you?
That's a big part of it. The toaster as well. Then just the whole Statue of Liberty scene. It's a good movie. I don't know why there's people that disagree.
I think is you know what it is. It's like people who are born after 1984, after the first movie, they see the second one because they're about 4 or 5 years old, sometimes six, and then that's the movie that they're introduced to. But I have to say, it's for me, it's the soundtrack, Uncle Bobby B, baby.
I actually have a theory on why Ghostbusters 2 gets the short end of the stick. And what it is, because it's something that I've seen a lot with the newer movies too, is the first movie comes out and it's this big giant comedy. It's very adult. You know, I see it now labeled, it's an SNL comedy. And, you know, Ghostbusters 2 comes out and it's not that. It's really not. It's more its own thing. It's the comedy's toned down a bit. It's obviously not as adult, not without it having adult jokes, but you know, not as blatantly adult as the first movie was.
Yeah.
I totally agree with
people, that. A lot of people, especially the older crowd, are like, what the hell is this? This is too kiddie for me. But people are, you know, in our group who were kids who saw it tend to love it.
Would you say that that's kind of like what happened with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1989? How that was like dark and gritty, and then the second was toned down way too much?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
I wouldn't say it's so much to that extreme, because obviously that movie was always geared towards kids, where Ghostbusters wasn't. The kid thing wasn't expected. It just happened. So it's like, that's my theory, is it's really just the fact that, you know, it's like Star Wars, you know, it's like the prequels, you know, people who either really, really like Star Wars or who were kids like the prequels, the older people, not so much. So that's really what I see. And then the thing with Ghostbusters 2 is there's also kind of this just understanding by a lot of people that it's a bad movie. And people just run with it. But a lot of people actually really like it. It's just people don't talk about it like they do other movies.
That's true. Maybe we should start talking about it more than 84.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I mean, we already are. Like I said, it seems just about every episode that we've done, it always goes back to GB2. Most people are saying, oh, yeah, I watched GB2 and then I went back and watched GB1.
So, and also GB2 was always on TV because it's cheaper to license.
Yes.
And Ian's in the chat on Facebook and saying, you know, for being more kiddie, the scares in Ghostbusters 2 is scarier. I actually had, sorry to just derail.
No, we're good.
I actually had this great conversation with one of the attorneys at work once. I don't know how we got on the subject, but somehow Ghostbusters 2 came up. And she's was a few years younger than me, you know, maybe more about Dan's age. But, you know, somehow she said she won't watch that movie because it scared her too much.
Really?
Yeah. She's like, I watched it. I'll never watch it again. It was too scary as a kid. I'm like, really? Because I'd never heard that. I mean, I kind of agree that it is a bit scarier with the, you know, the bathtub trying to eat Oscar. And
you're right. But yeah, and probably like
I thought, so it really didn't scare me.
Huh.
Or I was 9 when it came out, but close enough.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the kids who are sitting in therapy right now, and then I just had this recurring dream of the tub trying to eat me.
I would only shower from that point on.
But all right, go ahead.
If you're out there and you're scared of tubs, I'm sorry. I'm not really making fun of you. Dan, back to you.
I am not scared of tubs, thank you.
Well, thank you for answering that question.
I had a feeling it was the next one.
No, my actual next question was, we actually have to go back because I kind of skipped over this one. Well, where are you from?
So I was born in Oak Park and I grew up in Berwyn.
Okay. All right. All right.
And then, when I was 14, my mom worked in the corporate office of Sport Mart, if you remember that company.
I do remember Sport Mart.
And they got bought out by another company and moved us out to Denver.
Okay.
And I lived out there until I was 21, which was late 2004. And then I moved back to Joliet with my brother and been back in Illinois ever since.
Okay. What was your favorite thing about Denver, if you have any fond memories?
Well, that was the high school year, so there's a lot of things I won't talk about. I can tell you a really funny story of something that I did that wasn't great then.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so, you know, remember when the internet was new and you had the AOL chat rooms?
Oh, yes.
Well, 15-year-old me and a friend of mine thought, you know, we should try to meet some girls on the AOL because we were new in town and, you know, didn't know any better. So we happened to start talking to this one that supposedly goes to the same school that we're about to go because it's like August, I think, because it was before school started.
Mm.
And things were going good. She wanted to meet up, but she couldn't meet up until her parents, you know, it was late and she could sneak out. Oh yeah, this sounds like a great plan, right? So she says, meet us at the Kmart, which was only a couple blocks away from me, at like midnight. So what do? We sneak out. We walk to this Kmart thinking, hey, you know, we're gonna meet some girls and you know, it's going to be cool. This Honda Civic pulls up. Four guys jump out, mace us, jump back in the car, and drive off. So we're obviously causing a scene and yelling, oh, my God, what happened? Police come, fire truck, ambulance. We get rushed to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
That same weekend, my mom was on a business trip, so my dad had to take my one-year-old niece that was living with us, wake her up out of the crib, get her dressed, come to the hospital to pick me up. It did not go over well at all. They were not understanding about the way a 15-year-old boy thinks.
Oh, my goodness. This has American Pie vibes written all over it, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that was my dating history gone wrong at 15.
Okay, so many things to unpack there, but it kind of explains why you're a Ghostbuster.
It does. I like the camaraderie. I'm sick of being ghosted.
And you're not afraid to take risks.
Right. But going back to Denver and things that I really liked about it.
Yeah.
Obviously, I had a lot of the friendships from high school that, you know, were real strong, and I still talk to several of them, one of which I actually saw last week at a Lego convention. And I just love the outdoors, the mountains, going to Red Rocks, saw a few of the concerts there. I mean, back in the late 90s, ska and pop punk, I mean, that was where it really exploded. And that's kind of where I stood. So I'd say just the outdoors and the city life of it not being majorly giant like Chicago was nice. I mean, you could drive through it in an hour and a half.
I dig that. I really do. Because, and I'll say this again, Chicago's a great city. It has its faults, of course. You know, it's home. You know,
yeah.
This is where we grew up. However, I feel you on the Denver, because that's how I feel about Hawaii. I miss Hawaii so much. I miss driving through the mountains, being on the beach, getting to do all the cool things you get to do on the island and you can't really do over here. So I get that. And that's really awesome.
I've been to Hawaii once and it was great. I would love to go back.
Norm, you ever been to Hawaii?
Nope.
Is it on your list?
Probably.
You should go, buddy. Okay. Do you have any hobbies? I'm sorry, this is for Dan.
Yeah.
I know it. Do you have any hobbies outside of GB?
Lego is one, obviously. I'm not the master builder I'd like to be simply because I don't have the space for it. But, you know, if I see a set I really like, I pick it up. Because of Bob and Norm in the group, I recently got all of my old Nintendo and Super Nintendo games back and added to that collection.
Nice.
I redid an extra bedroom into kind of a retro gaming room. I have all the old systems I have, all the games, picked up a few pieces out of the 80s and 90s of just nostalgic pieces. Like I picked up a Noid glass from the flea market because when I was 16, I worked at Domino's. So I'm like kind of fitting to have, I thought.
So now I have to ask you, do you have the Noid video game for NES?
I do not, but I'm looking for it. I'm always looking for it. But I do have a Noid watch still in package.
Dude.
Wow. It doesn't work. The battery's long dead, but
still though, man, how hard is it to keep something in a package?
Right?
Especially for like 30 years. Bob wants to know when we're going to get to the fireworks factory. I don't.
That's a good Simpsons reference there, Bob.
Yes, it is.
However, why don't you sit back relax before I turn this car around and we're going home. We're not going to Disney World.
We're going to Winnipeg.
Norm, thank you for that, buddy. You are a treasure, sir, and I love you. Danny boy.
Yes.
Dano. Danosaurus Rex, what is your favorite system to play on?
Hydrate.
Hydrate. Cheers.
So I'll even throw out the favorite game too. My
Don't jump ahead of me first. Answer my first question. Then I'll get
Super
to that
Nintendo
one.
Is my favorite system.
Why is Super Nintendo your favorite system?
Because that's the system that I really got in depth with playing when I was younger. Because my brother had a Nintendo, but you know, at like 4 and 5, I wasn't great. I mean, there was a lot of just me just falling in the hole and dying.
Posture check.
Yep. And so after I got better at that, that's around the time that Super Nintendo had come out. And Super Mario World, I played at a friend's house, fell in love with it, told my mom this is what I want for Christmas. And of course, you know, I got the normal thing from parents. Well, it's really expensive. I don't think that's going to happen. Don't get your hopes up. And then sure enough, there it was on Christmas Day, you know.
Well, that's nice.
And then obviously when I got better, I went back and replayed all the Nintendo games that I died all those times with.
Well, I had a follow-up question for your you playing with your brother. Did he pull the, I'm going to unplug this and just give you a controller and make you think like you're playing?
I don't remember him doing it, but it's very well he probably did.
I did it to my little brother. And I did it to my son. So just
and just to throw it out there, because I don't think I've ever said the age difference. He's actually 8.5 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he'll be 50 this year.
You got a good relationship with your brother?
Oh, yeah. I work with him every day. I lived with him for 6.5 years as an adult, which worked out because we had different schedules. So I was there to watch his kids when they got home from school. And then, you know, I left and he was there. Really good relationship. Except all of the Ghostbusters stuff and everything, he doesn't get it, just calls me a nerd for it. But he's like, if that's what you like, go ahead. It is what it is.
That was actually going to be my next question. Yeah. Is like, why doesn't the brother come out? Does he have interest? Potential new member. What's going on here?
Wow. Not his thing. He will throw on a football, basketball, baseball jersey and support any team. But as far as putting on a flight suit, that'll never happen.
I think we'll have to have a crusade to get your brother in a flight suit.
We would have to go more his realm. If it wouldn't be Ghostbusters, it would be the more movies that he's used to, which would be like Goodfellas. So, I mean, if we all put on a suit and, you know.
How am I funny? Huh? Am I a clown? Do
there
I
you go. Exactly. I or get Fast and Furious also. Not as far as much as working on the car. It's just the Vin Diesel. He's a fan.
Okay. All right. So we talked about your hobbies outside of Ghostbusters. Let's talk about your hobbies within Ghostbusters. You said you had the toys, you had the movies. Do you have a favorite toy?
That's tough.
Past or present?
So if we're going toys growing up with Ghostbusters toys, well, are we going only Ghostbusters toys?
Yes, we'll go Ghostbusters toys and we'll explore something else after that.
Okay. If I had to pick the favorite toy from Ghostbusters, there was a Winston Zeddemore. I forget what the series was called. But he had this giant saw blade pack that he wore that also turned into like a unicycle type thing.
Huh.
And I thought that was pretty cool. I don't remember which of the series.
Or something like that.
Because they all had different kind of vehicles on their back.
Yeah.
I remember what I want to say Egon or Peter had like this go-kart looking thing.
Yeah, but. Power pack. Frank says power pack.
Nice.
All right. Nice. Very nice.
Bob's got a question.
Go ahead, Bob.
If Dan could make a Ghostbusters video game, what kind of game would he make?
Oh.
Ghostbusters game.
100%. my answer, which will also answer the question that I was going to answer earlier of my favorite game. It would be 100% in the style of Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Nice.
I mean, think about it. You could have 10 people to save, different types of ghosts everywhere attacking you. It'd be real similar to the game itself, really. Probably wouldn't be hard to make.
Well, then, that would be very interesting to do. So then I'm going to throw something else at you. If you could mash up Ghostbusters with any other movie that would be like a cool crossover, what would you pick?
Well, the two 80s movies that I love the best would be Back to the Future and Ghostbusters. But I don't see much of a crossover with that.
Of course there's a crossover. You can figure it out.
I mean, I guess you could go back in time to kill ghosts, but they wouldn't be ghosts then if you went that far back. Then it would just be murder, and nobody approves of that.
All right. So no Ghostbusters and Jurassic Park crossover or Ghostbusters and Zombieland?
God, there's a lot of options here. I would like to see, again, some of the actual, like, horror icons, which I mean, I know they've done the fan fiction versions, but I would love to see a real live action cinematic version, either Freddy or Jason or Hellraiser, just any of those I think would be an interesting, or Chucky. Chucky's probably my favorite of that horror realm.
Ghostbusters versus Chucky. That would be a good video game, not a movie.
Yeah. Again, now I'm just thinking of the Zombies Ate My Neighbors, the little doll that stabs you to death in those movies or in the games.
Well, since we talked about Winston Zeddemore as your favorite toy, who is your favorite Ghostbuster?
Egon, all day.
Okay. I said, let's go down the rabbit hole.
So I've always gone for the inventor type of group, you know, in the group. Egon, Doc Brown, Donatello, Dexter of Dexter's Lab. I mean, that's always like who I identified with the most. I mean, I if anything, Back to the Future is the one movie I will favor over Ghostbusters. But as you all know, a DeLorean is way more expensive than a proton pack. So that's kind of why I went this route. But if I ever win that lotto, there will be a DeLorean in my driveway before an Ecto-1. But yeah,
they're a lot easier to find than a than a 59 Caddy ambulance.
It's pretty sad that the Ecto would probably be faster though, even with all the weight.
Well, yeah, you got that straight six, of course.
As opposed to the DeLorean that it won't even hit 88 miles an hour.
It's a four banger, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be a luxury car. It was supposed to be the everyman car.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, like the inventor type was always kind of who I identified with the most. I mean, I wanted to be a mad scientist for a while when I was little. I'm sure that you've all done it too. You know, you go through either stuff in the bathtub, mixing it together, or stuff in the pantry, you know, to make a magic potion kind of.
All right. I don't think I've ever done that. I think I blew up the house though.
Oh, I've taken stuff apart and not been able to fix it too.
That I think every one of us has done, because we've saw, like, and I watch my kids do this all the time. They'll take off the stickers, they'll get to the screws, they'll go find my screwdriver, and they'll start taking it apart. And they go, "Daddy, can you fix it?" What the heck?
You're like, "What's this mess? I don't even know what it was."
I don't even know what this is.
And actually, another thing that really intrigued me and I always wanted to do as a child is you'll have to correct it if I get the name wrong. The Rube Goldberg type of invention. Is that right, Norm?
Yeah, Rube Goldberg machine. Yeah.
You know, like in Back to the Future, when to make the breakfast, there's a million things that, you know, the marble goes down the chute, hits this, yada, yada, yada. I've always wanted to build something like that just to do it.
Or like Or like the breakfast machine in Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Yes, exactly.
Or the wake-up machine in Casper?
Yes.
That's a good one.
Which is another Ghostbusters movie.
It is. Yep. You're right. It's canon.
It's the original Ghostbusters 3.
Someone else.
Someone else. So great. Okay, then. Well, since we talked about the Proton Pack, we're going to go ahead and answer this question because it's on everyone's mind. I know it is. What's the name of your Proton Pack?
Which one? I got five.
Your favorite.
So, again, there's only one that has a name, and it's still in the process. I'm not 100% settled on it, but I'm going to have to go with Emmett.
Emmett.
Okay.
Okay.
As Dr. Emmett Brown.
That's a good ode.
Yes.
That's a very good ode. Yeah.
And that's that one is the original 80% that I bought, the one that I've done the most work to, the one that Matt Golden Ball, I know I pronounced his name wrong.
We all call him Golden Bolt.
I actually gave me a lot of help with. And because work and life and everything else took me almost two years to start to finish it. Because there was a lot of, okay, I could work on it, but I'm tired. I'll just do it tomorrow, you know.
So I've got a couple comments here that I've got to bring up here. So,
all right.
First of all, Shannon says that she has a new toy for you.
Yes, she does.
So is that number five or is that six?
That's number five.
Okay.
And I will be condensing down to three some point this year.
Cool. Also, Bob wants to know why you didn't name it Bob.
because I don't want to retire
Bob,
it.
What a crime.
Because if I name it Bob, I would have to retire it, and I'm not doing that.
Oh. Okay.
That's a fact.
That's it.
I know.
I can hear Bob that's through the internet going.
Oh my goodness. I now declare that is the best burn of 2024. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Motion carried. Someone call the fire department because Bob got burned. Whoo!
I didn't even mean that as a burn. He always talked about retiring. He's gonna beat me up now.
Bob doesn't have a mean bone in his body. He's just gonna look.
He's like, gonna get a paddle.
Yeah. He's like double my size. He's picked me up with one hand before.
Yeah, it's better that Bob picks you up rather than Steve, right?
No,
Steve lifted me above his head and spun me.
Exactly. What was that, Norm?
I said, no, Bob, you cannot retire.
Five more years.
Five more years. Yep.
Five more years.
For those of you who don't know, every time Bob asks to retire, we usually add on 5 to 10 years of servitude. Even after he's dead, he will serve as a Ghostbuster.
It's in his contract.
It's in his contract.
His ghost will still be a member of the Windy City Ghostbusters.
Very much, very much so. We'll probably change the logo to a Bob logo, but
oh no. Hold on a second. I have a surprise for you.
Is
Bob yes.
coming in?
Hold on. It's not adding him though. Hold on.
Uh-oh. I hear him.
You know, I don't have to take this kind of abuse from you guys. Don't forget, I have moderation privileges on the StreamYard that runs the stream. So, JR, that's a paddling. Dan, that's a double paddling.
Yeah, and I know.
Just because Norm thinks he can escape. No.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, guys. I'll let you get back to the show.
All right.
Oh, we love Bob.
Surprised no one has commented on the shirt, though.
I'm saying.
Right?
Yeah, Bob, I can't do the stream. JR, can you do it? Let me just jump on the stream real quick.
There's no way I have time for it. Yeah.
Mark says don't threaten them with a good time, Bob.
That's very true. Very true. Good Lord. Is everyone having a good time? Give us a thumbs up. Go ahead.
Mark says he loves
it. I am. You know the thumb.
Oh, yeah.
We need to
remember to tell everybody why Dan's not allowed to have sharp objects.
Well, that actually was going to be my follow-up. Well, not follow-up, but my next question. So as everyone heard in the beginning of the stream, Rich. I did call. Yeah, I'm stretching. I don't know if you guys heard the crack.
Yeah,
there it goes. All right. So,
how many days without an accident are we?
I don't know, like 145, somewhere around there.
Scarecrow Fest was October 8th, I want to say.
Okay, 245.
Yeah, I stopped counting.
As I stated in the beginning of the stream, that I refer to Dan as Dan Stitches Lombardo.
We got another hydrate.
Oh, geez. Well, thank you for caring about us to drink. And it's just pop, by the way, people.
Same here. Coke Zero.
Dan, please tell us why we call you Stitches.
So, disclaimer, anyone listening, be careful with sharp objects. I'm just going to throw it out there firsthand. At Scarecrow Fest in St. Charles last year, we're setting up, beautiful fall day. It's going to be a good one. We always have a lot of fun at St. Charles. And another member had just modified his pack, and the shoulder straps were too long. So he wanted to put a couple of wire ties on it so they don't just hang out and get loose. So he puts them on, but he couldn't cut the end of them off. Oh, sure, we could have took the pack off. We could have found a pair of scissors. But no. Someone was in a hurry because he wanted to get everything good. Said, here, I got it. And he handed me a box cutter with a brand new blade. And I cut the first one off, and it was a little tough to cut, maybe the angle, maybe the amount of pressure, but it went through and it was fine. But I almost slipped and hit him, so I was extra careful on that second one to make sure I didn't hit him. What?
Were you, though?
I tried to be. I didn't hit him, did I? But I hit myself on the second one. And originally, sharp blade, I didn't even feel it cut. And then I felt a little bit of a sting. And I'm like, oh, I guess I hit it. And another member saw my thumb and said, you need stitches. I said, no, I don't. So then I decided to really look at it, and it opened up. And I said, I need stitches. So luckily, another member, Jessica, had a first aid kit with her. So I immediately got rid of the box cutter because I didn't deserve to have it anymore. And wrapped gauze and medical tape around my thumb as tight as I could so I don't lose any blood. Put a rubber glove over it just to keep it clean and dry. And she asked me, do you want me to take you to the hospital? I said, no, I want you to stay here, entertain guests, and, you know, just have some fun at Scarecrow Fest and make some money for La Rabida. And they did. So I went to my car. I took everything off. And, of course, I went to not the emergency room, but just like a quick care, which was down the street, half a mile. And on the way, I called you, JR, to say, hey, just so you know, I'm not going to be there. And you're like, oh, why? What's up? I'm like, well, I'm bleeding. So I get there in the waiting room, filling out the insurance. And because it was close to Halloween, can anyone guess what song comes on over the intercom? So I'm sitting there in a flight suit. My thumb is the size of a peach right now because it's swollen. And trying to fill everything out. 11 stitches later. That's right, 11. One thumb. I'm bandaged up. And I had called Norm. And I said, hey, I pulled a Bob today. And he goes, what happened? And I told him the scenario. And James' exact words were, you out-bobbed Bob. Bob's never had to go to the emergency room.
And now our safety was back down to zero.
Yes. Next thing I know, I see that our days without an accident is down to zero. But the good thing to come of it now is we make sure to always have a first aid kit at events and an emergency contact sheet just in case, because anything can happen. You never know.
Yep.
You know, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Norm.
No, I'm just agreeing.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you know, we have Dan Stitches Lombardo. I'm wondering, could we have changed Bob's name to Bob Anderson?
Well, there's also glue. He's glued himself to things.
But there's no really good sound for glue except for, you know.
I mean, only when you glue something and pull it off. It's like Velcro.
On the Discord.
Oh, I'm on it.
Oh, okay. I thought you said. he's really doing it. Oh, no.
What? He's doing it on the phone.
He's doing it. He is now Bob Anderson. That is fantastic. We're just going to go ahead and gloss right over that into our next little section here. Because we talked about La Rabida for a little bit, but let's go ahead and touch back about that. What is it about our charity that you love about, you know, that you love? Why do you put so much passion into this? Go for it.
Well, it's all for the kids. I mean, that's all what it stems to. That's the short answer. And when I was lucky enough to go with you and everyone else that did to the toy drop off on Christmas, that really hit me hard, you know, seeing all the kids firsthand like that, you know, because just knowing that we're helping kids, that's all fine and dandy, and it's great, and it's a great feeling, but seeing it is completely different. I mean, that moved me. And being as that I don't have kids of my own, I have nieces, nephews, you know, cousins, second cousins. I like kids and I love helping them. And just knowing that we're doing so much for the hospital and to bring smiles to people's faces, you know, at events and everything, it's overall just a moving feeling and like great feeling of giving back to the community and having a lot of fun while we do it.
Oh, for sure. Now I'll say this about you, Dan, because I've known you for the better part of 2 years, and you and I gelled three. Oh, are we going on three?
It'll be 3 years in November.
Oh, good Lord, sir.
Half anniversary.
Time just flies when you're having fun. And right? It is. This is fun. This is a great hobby of mine. But what I was really drawn to you, what really drew me to you was your passion for others. And I see it when you engage with other members, when you engage with our possible donors and donations, obviously with other kids. But when you're right, when we got to that hospital, something was different. Obviously it was different. You know, there was no denying that.
Yes, I agree. And
to be in the presence of those children was spiritual, was moving. Spiritual, not to be, no pun intended. It was definitely moving. And to watch you in that element, you know, interact, it's kind of like, again, watching from a different angle. Because our group, this is what we do. We get excited about these things, but when we actually get there to actually see the fruits of our labor, man, something just takes over. And like, I remember I got super emotional.
Yeah.
You know, I see you interact with other people at other events. Mm. And I see the passion. I see the tenacity. I see it all. And I see that in a lot of all our members as well, you know. But again, to have you there and to watch you, it is a treat. It's a pleasure, you know. And I say that to about a lot of our members, because it takes a very special person, a very, very strong-willed person to do what we do, because not everyone could do it. Because if everyone could do it, everyone would. But this isn't easy. So that being said, sir, what would you say is the biggest challenge being a Ghostbuster?
Biggest challenge being a Ghostbuster. Honestly, what I consider the biggest challenge is still having a life outside of it, because I enjoy doing it so much. I feel like I want to be there for every event. I want to be a part of everything that we do. So there are times I need to force myself to take a step back and take a break for a weekend or whatnot, you know, because again, it's just, I love doing what we do. I've made so many great friends doing this. I mean, we all know the older we get, the smaller the circle gets, right? Well, because of this group, I feel my circle huge now, you know. I mean, I would go to bat for just about anybody on our team, you know. And it's what I love about our team, too. I feel every member brings something different. And we're all able to work together for the greater good. So, as I said, my challenge is forcing myself to take a break every now and then. I think that's probably my biggest downfall I see with me, because I want to be there. I want to give it my all every day, 24/7. And even after the Ghostbusters weekend, I just remember I had such a blast at both events and the parade. But by like 8 o'clock at night Sunday, I could not keep my eyes open. I was done.
Well, I've been there. Norm, you look like you want to answer that question too, sir.
What question?
What's the biggest challenge of being a Ghostbuster for you, sir?
Time.
Yeah.
Finding time for everything. And energy.
Mm-hmm. And money.
Yeah, that too.
I wonder if everyone else feels the same way.
Probably.
No. Well then, this has all been great stuff. So I would like to ask you one of my final questions here, and we'll kind of just BS through the rest of the way. So I was given a question last time of, you know, we did the favorite hobbies, right? And I got really excited when I said Lego, and I got into things like that. What is your favorite toy outside of Ghostbusters?
Well, growing up, it was definitely Lego. I still have so many at my parents' house, but because they were both smokers for many years, they're probably stained and it would take a lot to get them back. Mm-hmm. Ninja Turtles were a huge thing in my life too. Obviously that goes hand in hand with that time frame. Now, I probably had more Ninja Turtles than I did Ghostbusters when I was younger. Because I think maybe the age or whatnot, but the real Ghostbusters cartoon was kind of on its way out as Ninja Turtles grew and grew.
Yeah.
And then obviously it went to video games after that. So if I had to pick one toy overall, probably my first Lego set was one of the ones that like made the biggest impact on me. And in fact, they re-released it and I have it. I can show you the box.
Is it the space one?
No. Hold on.
It's right here. It'll go hand in hand.
All I heard was Roger.
It'll go hand in hand with what I said the Disney movie was. The Forestman set.
Oh, I love those Forestman ones. I had all those.
Yeah. So they re-released it, and I ended up picking it up on Marketplace for like $10.
Nice. So, I didn't know they re-released it.
Yeah.
It was like a, yeah, it was a freebie actually. You know, when you spend like $200 to $250 or whatever. And it was, I think, right after the Optimus Prime had come out, but I bought the Optimus Prime, so I missed out on that. So.
Well, so we talked about toys, and I wanted to kind of jump on that too, because I love Ninja Turtles, but I'd never had a favorite. There's only one toy that really stuck out to me, but that's because it was taken from me. It was stolen, and that one still hurts. It's the Ninja Turtle skateboard with the kick up foot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Put your finger on. I used to play with that thing for hours, because when I finally got it, I was just so excited. And I always had Michelangelo on it, and that was the one. Okay, that was the one. And then I took it to school for show and tell one time, and I put it in my backpack to, you know, because we were done with show and tell. I come back, when I get home, it's gone, and I was furious. I was in the second or first grade, somewhere around there, and I that's the toy that like I still think of when I think of favorite toys. That is the one that got away.
Yes.
That one still hurts.
I feel that. I do. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I can think of a handful of toys that I remember playing with a lot as a child. The Nerf bow and arrow was a big one.
Loved it.
That was cool. I had that.
Because, I mean, I just remember thinking it was the coolest thing that they were using them on Wild and Crazy Kids. And I'm like, I have that toy.
Wow. You just opened up the 90s chest, you know, good Lord. Wild and Crazy Kids, Guts.
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Legends of the Hidden Temple. Oh yeah.
What was Double Dare. Oh my God. That was another one of the Nintendo games I loved too. I had Double Dare for Nintendo.
Okay. I'm gonna throw this one out there. This is a question for both of you. Please answer this. Weirdest obscure game you have ever played? Mine was Wayne's World.
That's gonna take me a minute.
Really? Because like seriously, that's the one game of all the video games I've ever played. I'm like, this is the weirdest one. Why did they make Wayne's World? Why
is that? Well, they made everything like that back in the day.
I mean,
in the 90s, everything had a video game.
I never played them, but I remember seeing all of the Bible games that the angry video game nerd used to make fun of.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. The ones that were unlicensed, so they had the cartridges?
Yeah. They were like a periwinkle blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I remember those. I couldn't tell you what anybody would consider obscure, because I have played a lot of games in my life.
Yeah.
There's not one that just stands out. You're like, man, why did they make this?
Well, I'll tell you one of my personal favorite NES games. It's called Base Wars.
Okay.
And what it is it's a baseball game, but you play as robots. And like, if you try and steal a base or something, the robots fight.
What?
It is one of my personal favorite, completely off the wall games. I own it. I have it complete in the box, because most of my games from childhood, I still have everything. So, yeah, that's one of my personal favorite games, just because it's weird and obscure that most people probably don't even know about. But yeah, that'd probably be my answer.
That's cool, man. That is so cool.
It's fun, I really have to give a thought. I'm like, I honestly can't think of a game that really sticks out as like weird.
That was just the one.
Yeah.
But you think about all the good times you had when you were a kid, how you'd look forward to Friday because you could go to the movies, the movie rental place, and get the 5 for $5.
Uh-huh.
And then you'd go rent your favorite movies, and you'd wear them out so much, or you'd forget to take them back, and now all of a sudden you own this Joe's Video or Blockbuster Video. Like, oh, we never give it back. You know, oh, that's why I have Dracula Dead and Loving It.
So
Do you remember when games would get old, Blockbuster used to sell them, right?
Yeah, of course.
I have Rescue Rangers 2 for NES that I paid like $6.99 or $7.99 for. And that game is worth almost $500 right now by itself.
I remember playing that and having so much fun with it.
Rescue Rangers 1 was probably my favorite NES, that or Legend of Zelda. And it's a really hard toss-up on which one.
Jeez.
I think the rarest game that I have that I got from a video game rental was Street Fighter Alpha 2 for Super Nintendo.
Ooh. Ooh. All right. All right. This is where we're going to... How much more time we got left, Norm?
We're good, so...
We're good? Okay, we're going to do the rapid-fire question. And then we'll go ahead and sign it off. So, Dan, favorite Street Fighter fighter? Come on, go.
You know, I was never huge into Street Fighter. I'm not going to lie.
Favorite Mortal Kombat character, go.
Ryu. Oh, no, that's Street Fighter.
What a... Dude. You're just ruining this. Favorite Looney Tune?
Daffy Duck.
Favorite Power Ranger?
Green.
Favorite Transformer?
Bumblebee.
You're killing me, Smalls. Favorite movie of all time?
Back to the Future.
All right. Favorite song of all time?
Fantasy by Mariah Carey. No.
I thought I was the only one.
It's fresh in my head. I heard it today.
What'd you watch, Free Guy or something?
That just came on the radio.
All right.
That's a great movie.
Well, Dan, as we're going to wrap this up right now, I'm going to ask you, is there anything out there that you got going on that you'd like to promote, that you'd like to push out? Anything that's going to be coming up in the future? Now's the time, buddy.
Personally, I've got nothing. All I can do is promote us, everything that Windy City has coming. Our event team is doing a phenomenal job. We've got events almost every weekend the rest of the year. You all know this. That's my main focus other than personal life and work. But
all right. Norm, you got anything?
No, just make sure that you like, subscribe, all that fun stuff through all our different, whatever you're watching on right now.
And swipe right.
No.
No.
Hey, if you're not watching this on Twitch, watch this on Twitch because you get a little bit more interaction with us. You get to be able to, you've heard us do, say, hydrate or stretch or things like that. You get little points that you, for watching that you can interact with us and make us do things on video. Yay.
Well, now that we're going to go ahead and close this up, I'm going to go ahead and say, give a shout out. Hydrate. We got another hydrate. As I was saying, I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to Kristen and unveil the da-da-da-da. That's for you, Kristen. I wore this for you. Sorry you couldn't be here. Next show is going to be amazing. Catch us every Thursday.
Right, bro, now we got three hydrates.
Oh, jeez.
Four hydrates.
Anything else? Because I'm out now.
Yeah, me too. Stretch? You want to stretch too? Does anybody want us to stretch?
No, we're out of drinks. Stop doing hydrate.
I got nothing else to drink.
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right.
Where did I leave off?
I don't know. I got distracted.
Wait, are we going to do a sing-along or no?
No sing-along.
No one wants to hear that.
You can catch us, Why We Bust, every Thursday at 7 o'clock. Here, Chicago time. I don't know what time it's going to be in New York. I don't know what time it's going to be in LA. I think we're 5 hours ahead in Hawaii. So catch us there. But
LA 2 hours behind us.
Thank you, Norm. Thank you, Norm. So you can catch us wherever. It was a pleasure.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, Dan, thank you so much. Norm, thank you as always. You were fantastic, sir.
Thank you.
And with that,
wait, and thank our special guest, Bob, that said he couldn't be here today, but was here today.
Yeah, way to go, Bob. And with that, we're going to go ahead and sign off. Remember, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Why We Bust. See you guys next time when we look at another Ghostbuster and find out what makes them tick.
Memoriam Development. Memoriam Development.